Welcome to The Art of Construction, the podcast dedicated to helping you grow your business. Together, we'll explore the world of construction with some of the best minds of the industry. Your host, Evan Tilley, a micro-influencer and sometimes disruptor, will take you on a journey that will lead your business to the next level.
Hey, Tribe. I'm so honored when I get to interview another fellow podcast host. And today is that very day where we have Todd DeWalt, the leader of the Construction Leading Edge podcast and platform. Todd DeWalt is on a mission to help small construction business owners and leaders. He's the founder and the host of the Construction Leading Edge podcast, one of the most popular and longest-running podcasts dedicated to the construction industry. Over his 20-year career, Todd has owned a construction business and built projects ranging from bathroom remodels to high-rises. Now he coaches construction business owners to help them maximize revenue, eliminate chaos, and take their business to the next level. Tribe, as I know you want some more juice for the podcast to listen, here's one of those. Let's dive and have a fireside chat with Todd.
What's your favorite beverage?
Favorite beverage is probably 12-year-old scotch.
Ooh, is there a certain one?
I take that back. Actually, there's a Japanese whiskey that I can never remember the name of that's the best thing I've ever had.
All right. Well, we'll get that in the show notes. If people are curious on that, they can go check it out. Tell us about the favorite place you've traveled.
Favorite place I've traveled was probably, if my wife's listening, I'm going to say Cozumel for my honeymoon a little over 22 years ago.
Awesome. And what about a more recent trip? Give us a story from some other trip.
More recent trip was we took the whole family to Fort Myers Beach in October of last year for fall break. And usually when we go to the beach, we typically rent a house because I have four kids, but we stayed in a condo on the beach and it was great. Loved it. We were down there with all the snowbirds, hanging out with the retirees, and it was a great time.
Awesome. So definitely a family man and through and through. So cool stuff. What's your favorite hobby or interest outside of the construction arena? We like to passionately call the art of construction.
If you look at where I spend most of my time, there's probably two things. One would be sitting in bleachers or on bleachers watching my kids play sports. I've got basketball players and volleyball players, so I spend a lot of time doing that. And then I like to play guitar.
Oh, cool. What's your favorite jam to play?
I'm a blues guy.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Awesome. Well, we got to know a little bit about Todd DeWalt, and as you heard the bio in the introduction, we're so excited to have a fellow podcaster here in the Art of Construction, as the goal for the Art of Construction is to be that industry connector and connect the dots of all these amazing veins. And as I listen to the Construction Leading Edge, I'll let Todd tell the story, but he's definitely a coach that has lived the Art of Construction. So tell us about your platform, the Construction Leading Edge.
Sure. I appreciate the opportunity to be on here, Devin. So one of my goals for the Construction Leading Edge was to create what I called a crowdsourcing platform for wisdom and some of the problems I wanted to solve because of that, are a lot of construction business owners are lonely. They say, I don't have anybody to talk to. I wish I had somebody I could bounce ideas off. There are people starting businesses who would love to avoid a couple of years of expensive and painful learning curve. There are people who've been in it for 20, 30, 40 years and would love to give back, but there is just not a good mechanism to share that. So I wanted to create a way to connect construction business owners and leaders and be able to create that platform for sharing wisdom. So I started the podcast in 2014 and launched it to crickets, quite frankly. This was not something that people were asking for, and started it, frankly, put it on the shelf a couple of times, pretty much gave up on it. And I'm glad that I finally picked it back up and stuck with it, because it's been one of the most rewarding experiences of my life, my career, connected with a lot of great people, and ultimately my full-time gig and my business and my dream job has grown out of it.
So you got your dream job is to be a coach in the construction industry, and you use the podcast as a platform to introduce and give credibility. And I've looked out and saw some awesome stuff. But today I really want to take a deep dive on an article that you did in the Construction Business Owner, and we'll make sure to have links to this in the show notes. But if you're cool with that, I kind of wanted to just kind of go through that article, because when I read that, I was like, wow, this is big time when it comes to trying to – everybody's talking about labor and plugging the holes, but you called it the skilled workforce delusion. So can you give us kind of the overview, and then I want to go through those three bullet points kind of in detail today.
Sure. Yeah, I've been in construction for 20 plus years now. I've been a business owner. I've been a subcontractor, a general contractor, an owner's rep. I've been in business development. So I've seen it from all sides, residential, commercial, municipal, industrial. And I realized that this skilled workforce shortage, skilled workforce deficit is, it's what a lot of people would call the biggest problem that we're facing. And if you look at blog post articles, and I probably called it a big problem, but the reality is it's not a problem. It's a symptom of a lot of underlying problems. And I call it a delusion, because if there are a lot of people who are under the delusion that all they need to do is hire more people, they say things like, if I could just hire 10 more guys or 20 more guys, then all my problems would be solved. And the unfortunate reality is, they could hire those 10 guys or those 20 guys, and number one, it wouldn't solve their problems. And number two, it could put them out of business. So that's why I call it the skilled workforce delusion.
Awesome. All right. So when I read the article, the first part you talk about is the dam. And so let's talk about the dam. Should we go build a new dam or fix the leaking pipes, and what could happen, and some things about that?
Sure. Yeah. So the question I posed in this article was, imagine you're sitting or you get a notification from your local water utility company, and they say, hey, we're going to triple your water bill and we're going to have a public meeting. You might want to come and attend. So you attend this meeting and you find out that they want to raise millions of dollars and then pass that cost along to you as a user to raise the dam on the reservoir. They say, we need more capacity. We just don't have enough water for the community. And during the course of this presentation, somebody brings up the fact that 50% of the water is getting lost along the way through leaky systems, bad water meters, et cetera. So the question I posed was, would you be in favor of spending millions of dollars to raise the dam and throw money at the symptoms, or would you spend that money to fix the leaky system? And that's where the construction industry is. That's the same question that I pose to people. Do you want to throw money at getting more people into the industry, or do you want to fix the problems? Because one thing I was shocked to realize recently, I did some research and found in the National Labor Bureau statistics in 2017, the construction industry had a 60% separation rate. That means 6 out of every 10 people working in construction either got fired, laid off, or quit in 2017. 6 out of 10. So that tells me we've got a leaky system. And it would be one thing if our numbers were on par with other industries, but we're 20% above the national average. We're worse than a lot of other industries that are typically considered to have high turnover. So that tells me if we just go hire a bunch more people, then we're not fixing the root cause. A shortage of people is not our problem. We have a lot of other problems that are causing us to have these symptoms that present as a skilled labor shortage. Does that make sense?
It's gold, man. And why I love the start of this article, and Tribe, we're going to go through and talk about some real solutions when you talk about the symptom of the problem. As I've learned that being a student of the art of construction through these 150 plus episodes, I've learned you can't try to just plug the hole, because a lot of times what you end up trying to do with your dam analogy is you're trying to put a square peg into that round hole. And then it's that constant, you're in even more dire straits when you think that's the solution, like you talked earlier. And when you look at 2017, a lot of them went to like oil and gas and certain not as other sexy fields. And I've raised my hand and called to say, we got to make construction sexy again. there's certain fields that are just different than tech or, you know, healthcare, and we'll talk about that as well. But these different factors, we have to look at the root of the problem. And I love that. If you go back to the different episodes where we've hired different coaches in our platforms through the Entrepreneur Operating System, and that's where you need to have a coach like Todd on your team to look at it outside of it, not being standing behind the dam, just trying to put those square round pegs into the holes, or in your analogy of just band-aiding and trying to plug the leaks, right?
Yeah, exactly. And this is one of the things that I've learned over the past few years is, in addition to the skilled labor issue, most of the biggest problems that construction industries or construction companies are dealing with are not really problems at all. They're symptoms of underlying problems. And trying to treat these symptoms like productivity and quality and turnover and labor shortage and cash flow, trying to fix those symptoms directly is a lot like giving somebody who's having a heart attack an ice pack and some Tylenol. Maybe it makes the pain go away short term, deals with the symptoms, but it doesn't deal with the underlying issues. And if you really want to solve problems in your business, you've got to get to the root cause. And that goes for businesses and for the industry as a whole.
I totally agree. And that's where I'm honored to have you into Studio AOC and talk through both of us who have been construction guys for the tribe to listen and say, how can we really look at this differently to help really keep our business alive and thriving? So from that conversation where you talk about in the article as such, before you hire another employee, you need to make sure you have the best chance of keeping them around for a long time. So what are some strategies to boost those retentions?
The number one thing I teach people is that the problem is not out there. The problem is you as the leader. The reality is you are your own worst enemy. John Maxwell talked about the law of the lid in a book. I think it's called the 21 Irrefutable Laws of Leadership. And one of those laws is the law of the lid. And that means that you as the leader, whether you lead a team, lead a company, lead a project, you are the lid on your organization, and it will never grow beyond the point that you will allow it. So you need to grow your leadership skills. You need to upgrade your mindset. You need to figure out the ways that you are holding yourself back and the ways you're holding other people back. So that's number one, is really start with yourself. Take a good look in the mirror and improve your leadership skills, because you've probably seen this euphemism, and there's a lot of truth to it, but people don't quit companies, they quit bosses, they quit managers, they quit leaders. That's a big problem that needs to be solved. And secondly, you need to empower your people. Very few people are great at empowering others. Maybe they're good at delegating, maybe they're good at telling people what to do, but if you really want to see a team operate at a high level and see people stick around and do hard work and love it, then you need to empower them. And when you empower people, that means they feel trusted, they have autonomy, and they feel like they're in control of their destiny. They're not being micromanaged, and they're not only are they being used for their back and their hands, but their hearts and minds are also tapped in as well. And then the third thing is you got to focus on your culture, because culture beats policies and procedures all day long. Focus on building a great culture. And I can tell you, I ran a company that worked in sewer rehabilitation. So that meant I was sending guys to go work in live sewers, working in human waste every day. And they loved it. They loved it because there was the team dynamic, the culture was good, they were empowered, and it wasn't because of the work. In fact, it was in spite of the work that the glitz and glamour of sewer professionals is pretty low, but they loved it, and they were great guys. So those are the things that I tell people to start with. If you want to retain the people you have, become a better leader, empower those people, and then build a great culture.
That's so great. And I led a 4-hour conference for my window dealer owner council that I run. And it was a 4-hour conversation about culture, and it's not about what you do, it's why you do it. So you look at the Simon Sinek and the, you know, find your why, and there's different schools of thought on all those different theories and practices. But the goal at the end of the day is find out what makes you tick and why do you get out of bed in the morning. And the culture is what drives that. And you really got to have your core values that really make it or break it. And I really think the chemistry and everything really flows from those, from the core values in your culture. So I couldn't agree more.
Yep, absolutely.
So the next thing you discussed on there is the extra load. What's that all about?
The knee-jerk response for most contractors is when they get busy, they just want to hire people. And that's not necessarily the right move to make. So as I did some research, I found out that, lo and behold, the construction industry is not the only one dealing with a skilled labor shortage. Actually, the healthcare industry is still struggling with a skilled labor shortage with physicians. So there's a shortage of somewhere in the neighborhood of 30 or 40,000 physicians. There are parts of the country that are just underserved, parts where doctors just don't want to operate, don't want to live, and that's causing big problems. So if you think it's hard to create a new pipe fitter or trim carpenter or drywall finisher, think about how long it takes to create a doctor. 4 years of undergrad, 4 years of med school, however many years of internship, residency before they can actually be turned loose. So it can take 8 to 11 years to create a doctor. So the healthcare industry took a novel approach and they said, we have a shortage of people. Yes, we need to get more young people involved into the industry. But in the meantime, we've got to do some things different. We have to change our process. We have a people problem, the people shortage, but we also have a process problem. And they realized that they hadn't really changed the process for centuries, potentially. So they started doing what I call load shedding. And load shedding is an electrical term that I picked up when I was doing a project and we were talking about emergency generators. And if you have an emergency generator on a building that is not sized to handle the entire load of the building, but it's only sized to handle, say, the HVAC loads and emergency lighting and emergency needs, then there's a system that goes through what's called load shedding, which shuts down non-critical parts of the system to prevent failure of the entire system. So the healthcare industry went through what I call a load shedding process. They don't call it that. But what they did was they looked at the process and they said, all right, what are physicians doing that somebody else can do? And they started shedding that load from physicians and allowing nurses and physicians' assistants and other non-physicians to do the things that they could do. And they empowered them to do things to free up the physicians to do the things that only they were certified and trained to do. And that's the analogy that I use. We can do the same thing in the construction industry. So my go-to move, if somebody tells me, hey, I need to hire a project manager, I say, hold on. The first step is let's look at everything that your current team is doing, and then let's load shed. Let's go to try to find somebody who is easier and cheaper to find to do the activities that you think your project manager needs to do, and try to find a support person to do that thing. Do the same thing with your field crews. People believe they need to find a lead foreman or a superintendent, and in a lot of cases, they go through this exercise, they can find out that, oh, well, if I load shed a lot of the activities that my gal is involved in, I can find a support person or a laborer or an admin to do these things. And I don't actually have to hire another expensive, hard to find resource. I can find a support person to do that.
Man, you hit close to home there. As my wife is a PA in orthopedic surgery, and as I bought a little window and door company and we were getting married and wanted to build a family, it's been an interesting dynamic of all the things you're talking about. I run a presentation, one of my keynotes is called The Full Life Perspective. And we really sat down and said, like, when to have kids, but when growing my business and evolving, like you said, in 2014, starting your podcast. When I started the podcast, I knew it was going to be a journey that I was going to be going through to really take my BHAG, big, hairy, audacious goal of connect the dots and of the art of construction, because it is so much fun when you connect and see something come from a plan to actually building something. And that's what we love. But on the flip side of that, when you make your house a home, you got to be healthy in the home. And that's where my wife is. She's worked with two doctors. She's been a PA, and it's been so many lessons learned for me to see how she's the right-hand person to the doctor, and then I'm the leader of my companies, and learning from each other about how you have to respect each sides of the fence to elevate and delegate and really work that stuff out together. So I couldn't agree more when it comes to the healthcare and the construction industry are two things that, Todd, you and I as leaders here leading these podcasts and working together on our segments and other segments, that's pretty big time stuff when you talk about building someone's house to a home and making it healthy and keeping them best healthy, because that's the problem with healthcare is we got to get proactive in all sides of the fence. And if we get proactive, then maybe you do a little bit of proactive solutions of maybe working out a little bit more, maybe doing things a little bit different, how you work and build together, and it all comes together. So that's definitely of elevate and delegate, or you talk about the load shedding. I couldn't agree more. So what are some things we need to do when it comes to that to help with that?
Yeah, I've got a four-step process that I recommend people go through. The first is investigate. So audit your time. And I would start this with yourself, quite frankly, wherever you're at, business owner, starting your career, or a leader, audit your time and investigate. What are you spending your time on? You can do the same thing with your key revenue producing people on your team, the people that you think you need to hire more of. Survey them, find out what are they spending their time on. And then the first step is to eliminate. This sounds kind of ridiculous, so obvious, but as Peter Drucker said something to the effect of, the only thing worse than doing something efficiently is doing something efficiently that shouldn't be done at all. So a lot of people are all about efficiency, but they're doing things that are needless, they're purposeless. So if something can be eliminated, then eliminate it. And if you're not sure if it can be eliminated, then just stop doing it for a couple of weeks and see what breaks. And I'm talking about things like reporting or meetings, things like that. So many people in activities are what I call time hijackers. And a hijacker is somebody who takes over something for their own purpose. And emails, meetings, conference calls, coffee, lunches, stuff like that, they can be time hijackers. And the best thing to do with time hijackers is to eliminate them. So eliminate, then next is to automate. There's so much technology out there. Let's find better ways to either automate reporting of information, collection of information, streamline the process, but take advantage of the technology that's available to automate or streamline what you're doing. And then the fourth step is to delegate. Let's look at the activities and get to a point where you can say, I am only doing what only I can do, and then delegate everything else. And that's going to help you get more work done and do less work in the process. And it's going to empower your team as well, because they are learning things and they are being trusted to do the things that you want them to do.
Awesome. I'm going to give one other tool that when I talk about the entrepreneurial operating system that I've been going through with my companies, as I talk about my wife, who's a PA, she works for two docs and she's in surgery all day long when she's doing surgery. And it's, you don't leave the company, you leave the bosses, and she and Pat, they're such a great team after many years of working together. On the flip side of that, what I've been working with my teams is there's a tool that they use called the Delegate and Elevate tool. So I'm just going to walk you through this, and we can put a blank copy of this in the show notes. But it's really, really simple of this. And this is one of the tools I missed when I was going through the program, that now we're going back and finding out how powerful this is, because it's all about getting the right person in the right seat and making sure you're connecting the right people to the right leaders, whether your platform is windows and doors or sewers or whatever you're doing, whether you're running a coaching business. So you just take a blank sheet of paper and put a big cross on it, making four squares. And on the top left, you write love/great. And on the top right, you write like/good. On the bottom left, you write don't like/good. And on the bottom right, you write don't like, not good at the top of those boxes. So now you have these four boxes, and you take the next week, and on the opposite side of that paper, you just write everything down that takes you, let's say, 15 minutes or 30 minutes, depending on what your team and culture is all about and how you manage your time currently. And you write all those things down for a day, a week, whatever you want to do for your team. But I recommend everything over 15 minutes for a week. And then after that week is done, you take an hour, you leave your work, and you go on, you do in a reflection hour, and you go through all those things that you've wrote down, and you put them in those four boxes. So if it's job site visits that you love and you're great at, and you're doing that on a regular basis, then put that in that box. If you don't like it, but you're good at, maybe it's estimates or, you know, emails or something like that. Maybe you don't like and you're not good at emails. But the point of that is to write those four boxes, and then you share that with your team. And the whole point of this is to try to partner up the right person in the right seat to manage those two things of time, which is always before money that we don't have enough of. So I think that's totally the vein that we're going down. Would you agree with that, Todd?
Absolutely. Yeah, I think that's a great tool, great way to put a fine point on auditing your time, investigating it, and categorizing those activities. I think a big part of it is just recognizing that you can do something about your situation. I saw something interesting. There was a personality profile that was done, and I don't remember where this was, but they found an interesting indicator of success. And it was, the question was, which internet browser do you use? And that doesn't seem to make any sense. Why would there be a correlation between the internet browser that you use and success? And what they found was that the people that were most successful used the non-default internet browser on their computer. And why is that important? Well, it's because they went and found something. They looked for options. They weren't happy with Internet Explorer, and they said, there has to be a better way. There has to be a better internet browser out there. So the key is, look at your situation and ask yourself, what's a better way? How can I do this differently? Have a growth mindset instead of a fixed mindset, and go find a different way. And that's that process you went through. That's a great way to start that process. Yep, I love it.
Awesome, which is a great lead into your third point of the article, is the design. Let's talk about that.
Yeah, this came from a conversation that I had with John Morris, who is the president of the local chapter of the Associated Builders and Contractors. And he made the statement that a lot of contractors are designed to fail when it comes to new hires. And it's very important that if you want to hire more people, you better figure out if you are in fact designed to fail. So back in August of last year, 2018, my website got hacked, and I paid somebody to clean it up, thought it was taken care of. And then a month later, more problems. And over the course of several months, I found out, after dealing with their nefarious tactics, and frankly, I hope there's a special place in hell for hackers, because of the problems that they caused me, I realized that they had created a website within a website. They built a website on my website that was hidden, and that was a back door, so they could get in and play their little games. And basically, they had written code on my website to cause problems and to cause my website to fail. And there are, maybe in most companies, maybe all companies, have their written values, their written mission statement. They've got all this stuff documented that's public. But then there's this other company inside a company, just like there's a website inside a website. And there are these unwritten processes and unwritten rules and unwritten, this is the way we do things, that you'll never find on a website. You'll never find in a document, but it's how things are actually done. And as it pertains to new hires, one of the ways this happens, and the term I use is cultural malware, just like these website hackers that had installed malware on my website. It's code designed to cause problems and to cause failure. A lot of companies have cultural malware. And one of the ways that shows up, that John Morris shared on my podcast, is when new people are brought onto a job site, in a nutshell, the foreman and the superintendent on that job are motivated by these unwritten policies and procedures to run the new guy off as fast as possible. Because when new people come in, they're not that productive. They have to be trained. So that makes the overall productivity go down. And it pulls the foreman or the superintendent away, or the journeyman away, from doing their job. So it's putting extra load on the people who are already on the job site in leadership positions. And then at the end of the month, the profit and loss reports come out, the productivity reports come out, and the guys from the office come down and say, hey, you guys aren't hitting your numbers. And then the guys at the field level are motivated to say, it's the new guys. You need to get rid of those new guys because they're dragging us down. And that is cultural malware. So it's very important, especially if you're going to bring new people in, you need to dig in and find out, what are the unwritten policies and procedures? What's the company within the company? What are the things that are designed to make new hires fail? Now, that's one way, but there are lots of other cultural malwares as well, like micromanagement and a culture of blame and gossip and lots of other things that really need to be dealt with. Chaos, lack of systems. People don't want to come into an organization where the walls are just burning down every day. That is going to prevent people from succeeding, and they're going to go find somewhere else to work.
Awesome stuff, man. And so with that whole deal, it's all about getting the messaging out. And it's been such a cool journey going on as you and I getting to know each other and looking at all the different shows we've been working together on. And what I mean by that is The Art of Construction has been on shows, met me as a guest or had others. If you go back to different shows where, like, Tom Reber from The Contractor Fight or the Roofer Show. So all these different podcasts, you can hear Todd as us being the host or the guest. And what's so fun about that is when I listen to the shows, I hear about things that's like, I love the messaging, how Todd thought about that. And one of the things on all the different shows and where I'll be talking about that is I'll be speaking at a few different places at IBS, the International Building Show, here next month. And I will be talking not from talking about how you should go with The Art of Construction. My whole presentation is about what is a podcast and all these great shows. So there'll be different slides about The Construction Leading Edge and The Contractor Fight and The Riffer Show and The Entree Architect. And I can go on and on and on. And you can, if you're curious about knowing the tribe I built, you can go to our website and check that out. But one of the things when I was learning and listening to your podcast, whether you're a guest or a host, you talk about how you should operate right to left. Is that something you could shed some light on for our audience here today?
Yeah, absolutely. And I'll start with what the opposite of that looks like. And what I've found is most contractors operate left to right. So that means if you're looking at a project schedule, typically the start is on the left and the finish is on the right. So here's how most contractors operate. And this is just the reality. When I go through this, a lot of people say, that's me. That's exactly what I do. So what left to right operating looks like is they bid on whatever comes across their desk. They don't necessarily have a strategy. They haven't decided what kind of work they're going after. They don't really have a vision for the company. They land a project and they're really focused on starting. They're all about the start. So they get started on the project and they just do the best they can with what they have, and they don't really plan more than a day or two in advance, if at all. They're just kind of taking it as it comes, taking it day by day, rolling with the punches, and then they're getting punched in the face because they're not planning. Surprises are coming up. They're not ordering materials in advance. They get behind on projects. They get strung out on projects longer than expected. They get to the end of the project or the end of the month or the end of the quarter, and they ask their bookkeeper, you know, with fingers crossed, did we make any money? And it's all rear view mirror accounting. And not surprisingly, the owner is typically frustrated and discouraged, sometimes hopeless. And I've talked to a lot of construction business owners who are like, you know what? Sometimes I wish I could just be an employee. Sometimes I'm jealous of my employees. I wish I could just be an employee and close that down. And that's a shame. That's a real tragedy that there are construction business owners who have literally put their livelihood on the line. They've pushed all their chips to the middle of the table. They've gone all in on this business, personal guarantees, and they are frustrated. They're not making money. And in the worst cases, they're going bankrupt. And a lot of that is because they're operating from left to right. So several years ago, I was brought in to run a company, and I started running it from right to left. I realized that there was a better way. So what right to left looks like is to start with the end in mind. What is the result you want? And if you're a business owner, that could be your personal income for the year. If you look far enough down the road, it's what's your vision? When do you want to retire? What do you want retirement to look like? What do you want your company to be famous for? What do you want to be the best in your city at? A lot of people don't think about that because they don't know that that's an option. But it really starts with the decision of where you want to be. And I found that when you make that decision, then that takes a lot of other options off the table. You get much more focused. You get clarity. And then I can't explain this, but when you make a firm decision, a definite decision about what you want, then the resources, the ideas, the plans, the people come to you. So it starts with a decision. So if we look at the next 12 months, how much money do you want to make in the next 12 months? All right, then let's turn that into a revenue goal. How much revenue do you need to bring in order to support the lifestyle and the personal income that you want? All right, now we have an annual revenue goal. Let's break that down into monthly revenue targets. And then let's develop a sales plan that will give us the opportunity, put us in a position to sell that much work. And what that looks like is if you know that you've got a 25% hit rate, then you want to do $1 million worth of revenue, then you need to bid on $4 million worth of work in time to get it done before the end of the year. And then you decide what you want and you work backwards from there, from right to left. And then you break that down. Here's where the real key is you break that down into all the way down to an execution plan that says, all right, we need to invoice for this much work this month. How are we going to do that to support our revenue goal? And that becomes the plan that you execute on for each project, each week, in order to do that. So I put this system into place several years ago when a guy brought me in to run his company. And it was one of the reasons we were able to grow from about $4 million in revenue up to $11 million in about 3 years and grow the company from 15 employees up to 50 employees. And in the process, reduce the chaos and the stress and the frustration along the way.
So well said, man. And I would say, as leading the art of construction, I am not as polished as a lot of the coaches or a lot of the different leaders out there in the industry, because they've been doing it longer than me. But what I can tell you is that when I realized, man, you got to get the right help and get the right focus from someone that's not inside of that, that's just feeling the pain, it's so helpful. And if Todd is a great platform for that, he helps construction business owners and leaders eliminate chaos and maximize revenue. That's what business is all about, Tribe. And it's really hard to do that all by yourself. If you really want to grow your business, which is what the Art of Construction is all about and why I'm honored to have Todd on the show, is that it's for contractors and affiliates to grow their business. And how you do that is really get a good plan and get help. And that's the key to this whole thing. And another tool that I'd give you would go back, and I'm happy to share it with anybody that reaches out. We have an action plan where to give you what we call our time relationship chart. And this is a presentation that my father-in-law did it back in the 90s when it was really cool with two overhead projectors. And now we have a lot of tools like you talked about earlier on this show to automate and do a lot of cool stuff. But the goal of it's back to old school, man, is you got to write stuff down, figure out how much time you have in 2019 versus the rest of your life, and lay that out and then find out what makes you tick. For us, it was my wife and I sitting down for the first 5 years. It was, I was going to be building a business, but she had finished her 8 years of school and was in PA and doing really well to set it up to where then when we we're kind of reversing that, where she can scale back time a little bit to be the most amazing mom to our awesome daughter. And that's the key of balancing that stuff together when you design your full life perspective, as I call it, within the Art of Construction. So, you know, Todd, I'm so honored to have you as a member of the Art of Construction tribe and coming in and telling your story. I love bringing us all together. And as you talk about, know your numbers. And that's where there's all of us do it in a little bit different ways, but it's fun to have somebody who understands the construction arena we call the Art of Construction. If you go listen to the Contractor Fight with Tom Reber, it's going to be a little bit more hardcore in your face versus Todd and I are a little bit more business oriented in that mindset. Not saying one is better or the other. I think you should listen to all of them and get the different perspectives, because at the end of the day, you got to make your business work and you got to find your culture and your core values. And that's what makes your business and a growing and thriving business. So to send us off, Todd, if there's one thing that you would like to leave our listening audience with to think about how to grow their business, the pedestal is yours. And thanks so much for coming in and telling us your story.
Yeah, absolutely. I appreciate the opportunity. One thing, I think it would be this. I would challenge everybody listening to decide what you want. What do you want out of business? What do you want out of life? I tell people that somebody or something is going to decide how successful you are. Now, it could be the competition, it could be subcontractors, customers, Donald Trump, Obama, it could be the environment, it could be all these other things. Somebody or some combination of forces will decide how successful you are. And my advice to you is you decide. You get in the driver's seat of your career, get in the driver's seat of your business, and decide what you want. Get really clear on that. Get clear, make a firm decision, say no to a lot of things that don't line up with that, and say yes to that one thing that you really want, and you'll be surprised at what happens.
Awesome. Gold, man. Thanks so much for coming into Studio AOC and telling us your story.
Absolutely. Thanks a lot, Devin.
So many great insights about labor. And I'm raising my hand and say, you know, I'm the one trying to say hire more, but you really do have to look right to left. And I think that's something we should all think about and digest in our day-to-day business. And I'm so honored to be tying all these podcasts together. There's an arsenal of other great hosts I've interviewed, and so many exciting things to come when it comes to aligning the construction arena we like to call the Art of Construction. And our job is to be that global megaphone, taking all these great resources so you can have more great content to help you grow your business, as we're dedicated here for new contractors and all the affiliates associated with that to grow your business. Thanks for listening, and crush it out there and have so much fun growing your business.